1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. The fake Christianity in America is a putrid stench in the eyes of a holy God. You know, I was just watching a guy who popped up. He's, I guess, the new pastor at church in New York that was originally pastored by David Wilkerson. And anyway, it's the same old song and dance. And the people just come and they sit and they listen, but they don't obey. And it's the same old circus that happens every Sunday morning. And there's a lack of repentance, otherwise there would be obedience. No different than in the times of the prophet Ezekiel. There's no new thing under the sun. And God speaks about, he warns them about making their land desolate. Verse 29, Ezekiel 33. This is a passage from the end of Ezekiel 33. What a chapter. Okay, and so we see that God warns them of the desolation that is to come. And then the prophet writes the following. He says, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses." In other words, he was speaking behind his back. "And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord." I guess they were inviting each other to go hear Ezekiel preach. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee." See, God's telling on them, and this is exactly what we see happening in the churchianity that goes on in America and all over the world. It's fake. It's completely fake. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them." They won't obey. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Notice they sit before thee. They hear the word of God as my people. "And they hear thy words, but they will not do them." They will not obey the word of God. They're going to sit there and listen, but they won't obey. "For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." In other words, like as in the days of the prophet Haggai, they were saying to the Lord, "It's not time to build your house, to do your work, your great commission. We're too busy building our own house." And boy, isn't that the testimony of the United States of America? The covetousness is absolutely off the charts, if you will. Notice, "but their heart goeth after their covetousness." You know, the way we spend our money and our time is a direct reflection of the priorities of our hearts. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Just like it was in the days of Haggai, the prophet. The people who claimed to know the Lord were spending all their energy and money on building their own plush houses. They were just like Laodicea. They claimed that they were rich, so they were self-deceived to thinking they were rich. But Jesus, because they had this world's goods, but Jesus corrected and rebuked them. And what did Jesus say of the Laodicean church in the third chapter of the book of Revelation? "Because thou sayest, I am rich." In other words, I have this world's goods, right? Notice he had just said that he's going to spew or vomit and reject anyone out of his mouth that is lukewarm, that is not an obedient servant. Anybody who truly believes unto the Lord, on the Lord for salvation, is an obedient servant. The obedience doesn't save you, but it's always going to be the product, if you will, produced from being saved by grace through faith, real faith, not fake faith, which is most of what we have in churchianity in the United States. And notice that's Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. We are his workmanship. Those that are saved by grace through faith are his workmanship, and we are created, or we've been born again into his kingdom to do good works. If you're not doing good works, you're not living by faith. Faith without works is dead. A faith that doesn't produce obedience to the Lord is not a saving faith. It is a demonic faith, according to James chapter 2. So to the Laodiceans, Jesus said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. I've got money in the bank. We got a big house. We got all that we need, etc. We got all the trinkets of today so we can keep up with our neighbors and, you know, make a good show in front of them. So he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Notice, spiritually, they were getting ready to be spewed out of his mouth. That means to be rejected and ultimately to be damned in hell. He said they don't know it. They don't realize it in their blindness, but they are what? Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. In other words, they do not have on the robe of righteousness because they have chosen to rebel against the Most High. Jesus said that the only ones that are going to be with him, accepted on Judgment Day, are those who lay the foundation of their lives upon the rock of obedience. This is Matthew 7, beginning in verse 19 through 29. That's going to be the only people in heaven, those that get saved and those that stay saved, those that build their life on the rock of Christ, which is obedience. Right there in that passage, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, obeys the will of my Father which is in heaven, which is the word of God. Okay, and so we have confused obeying God with going to church. And so you still have these people that are like, oh Lord, give me boldness. You've been in church, so-called, for decades, and you're still asking God that's not a bad prayer. But if you're not going to obey God by really repenting, he's not going to hear your prayers. He's not going to give you boldness and use you. You haven't really repented, and that's the problem right there, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Now, notice in the end of Ezekiel 33, he says, these people come, and they sit under your teaching, Ezekiel, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. They're insulated from obedience. They are unrepentant, and this brings to memory how Jesus spoke of the religionists of his day. He said, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Mark chapter 7, verse 6. So that's why, if you're listening to me, and this is you, this was definitely me in years, decades ago, I would encourage you to stop going to church and be the church. To get up every morning seeking the Lord. To declare that you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3, that you are crucified with Christ. Raise your hands, your hearts, and seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Memorize scripture, King James Bible, and start walking with the Lord every day. You see, modern pastors aren't interested in you walking with Jesus every day. They're interested in you liking the things they say as they sprinkle some scripture in there on Sunday morning so that you join their club, their country club, you become a member, and you patronize their ministry. They're not about God and you. They don't care about anybody else but themselves. It's all a big business, folks. Many of you guys have been to Bible colleges and seminaries. They teach you how to market your community. They teach you how to build a church business to form your community, and in their own words, to church the unchurched. Don't get them saved. Don't teach that they are to repent. No, like John the Baptist, Jesus, and the Apostle Peter did, and the Apostle Paul, they all preached repentance. Any man pretending to be representing Christ and not preaching repentance is a false teacher. He is preaching another, a false gospel, and he is accursed. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9, the first word of the gospel. They're not teaching you to really repent and bring forth fruit and meat for repentance, or consistent with real repentance by having a daily walk with the Lord. No, they just want you coming back to patronize their church business. That's the extent of their concern for you, to use you, to exploit you. So he says, they sit there, they hear your words, but they will not do them. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. What are you doing, my friend? You claim to be a Christian. You've been taught and indoctrinated to think that because you got saved in the past and you go to church, that somehow you're going to be welcomed into eternal glory. That's not what the Bible says. If you're not obedient, that shows you're not trusting in Christ as your first love. You're not living by faith. You're poor, you're blind, you're miserable, and you're naked. You're undone in the eyes of a holy God and on your way to a devil's hell. And it's going to be worse for you than it would have been if you had never gotten saved. Notice 2 Peter 2, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, you got saved, through the knowledge, through knowing the Lord Jesus, they are again, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, without fruit, right? Book of Jude. They are again entangled after being saved and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. That means they were saved. Otherwise, they would have never been able to escape the pollutions of the world unless they were born again. By the way, let me stop and say this. Anybody who's teaching you, blatantly or otherwise, that you are once saved, always saved, that you are eternally secure, is 100% a false teacher, a wolf, a snake. You can tell them I said it, and please do, because that's Satan's first doctrine. We've got a book called Lie of the Ages, which explores this all the way from the Garden of Eden, where Satan told the man and the woman that they would not suffer consequences, bad reaping, if they sinned against God. They would still be right with him. And that's exactly what led to their fall, the fall of the human race. Satan added one three-letter word. He said, you shall not, he added the word not, surely die. That is, if you sin against God. But God had already told the man and the woman that if they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they would surely die. God was trying to protect them. And he wants to protect you and I, but he's not going to do that if we disobey him. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment, the word of God, delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. You went back to sin. And the sow, or the sow, the pig, that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Living in sin, wallowing in the mire of sin and darkness. And all you have to do to walk in darkness and live an unrepentant, disobedient life is not to seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face continually. I want you to memorize that verse and obey it. 1 Chronicles 16:11. So their hearts were going after their covetousness. Doesn't that sound exactly like Ezekiel 16, where he details the sins of Sodom? Pride, fullness of bread, they were rich in this world, abundance of idleness, and they did not help the poor. Ezekiel 16, beginning in verse 49. That's exactly what we see with the Laodiceans. That's exactly what we see concerning the Jews in the days of Haggai, chapter 1 and 2. They were preoccupied with the things of this world. And if any man love this world, the Bible says, the love of the Father is not in him. You will not be with the Lord. You know, when a man goes to marry a woman, he wants to know, and if he's wise, he will not marry a woman that doesn't absolutely love him and want him above all others. Now, what makes us think that Jesus, the bridegroom, is going to take anybody into his eternal bridal chamber? Parable of the 10 virgins, Matthew 25. What? Who would believe, not a sane person, but a person that's darkened in their heart, that Jesus, the bridegroom, is going to take anyone into his eternal kingdom that hasn't chosen to say, Lord, I'm going to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want you above all others. Just like a woman who says, Tom, Mark, whatever her man's name is, I want you. I don't want any other man. I want you. I'm marrying you because I love you. Volitionally choosing to lay down her life to marry that man. No man in his right mind is going to marry a woman that doesn't exclusively want and love him. And why would we think Jesus is going to bring into his eternal bridal chamber of the New Jerusalem? Why do we think he would marry, or that any person who is lukewarm about him, who is just casual about him, well, basically so many just don't want to go to hell, but they're not willing to truly repent. And we're getting ready to find out what happens when we truly repent. Okay, so verse 32, this is the end of Ezekiel 33. And lo, verse 32, Ezekiel 33, thou art unto them as a very lovely song. of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. You see the picture, the illustration? For they hear thy words, but they do them not. They do not obey them. And that's why this is exactly what we see today among so many who claim to be Christians. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If 1/100 of the people professing to be Christians in America were obeying God, if they were really Christians, the world would be filled with missionaries all over the place to where they could minister to people who would actually want Jesus, not the gainsaying, hard-hearted rebels of the United States. And verse 33, and when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, he says, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. And we know this to be the truth of God because we have it on record in the canon of Holy Scripture. Now, turning our eyes to Matthew 3, we're going to read a portion here as we come in for a landing about what real repentance is. Oh, I want to love the Lord. Really? Why don't you go on a fast, drinking only water, and seek the face of the Lord? All of this nonsensical lying, oh, I want to love the Lord, I want to be bold, I want to be, really? If you did, you would repent and you would actually do the work of God. Otherwise, you're a counterfeit. In works, they deny him, right? Even though they profess him as Lord, Titus 1:16. In works, they deny him. You want to see who's real? Are you remembering this reference? Many of you already know it. Titus 1:16. They profess just out of their mouths, just like they were doing in the days of Ezekiel, Haggai, Laodicea, and today. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, there's the word work again, reprobate. Notice, they deny him in works, but in works they deny him. They don't prove that they're really Christ's disciple. Otherwise, they would be obeying him. Their works would show exactly who they are. And our works all show us exactly who we are. If you don't have your hand on the plow of the gospel, if you're not involved in the Father's business, it's only, and which is the Great Commission, it's only because you're involved in your own business, because you are the only one that matters to you, and you've either never repented or you've long since backslidden. You are a counterfeit, and you're going straight to hell where you're going to burn for all eternity, because you serve the God of self and not the Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if anybody's telling you that. That's what the Bible is telling you. We don't need another church service. How many years are we going to do that? If you're going to get honest and look at your life, you see you're not serving the Lord. You're not about the Father's business. You're not participating with the other few disciples in the Great Commission. You're giving your money and time to a false teacher who could care less about you or God. He's just using religion, if you will, or Christianity to make merchandise of you. He doesn't have a passion. He's got a profession. He's not telling you, looking you dead straight in the eye and say, you're going to die to self or you're going to die and be cast into hell. That's a fact. You're either going to be crucified with Christ or you're not going to overcome sin, because that's the way he prescribed the only way to overcome sin is to be crucified with Christ. Romans 6, he that is dead is dead, is crucified with Christ, is freed from sin. He's not going to tell you that. He's not going to preach repentance and that God is holy, 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 and that without holiness no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. He's not going to teach you to be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Why? He's playing you. It doesn't matter if you believe that or not. It's still a self-evident fact. We don't need another church service or sermon. Oh, that was such a good sermon. You were saying that 20 years ago and you still haven't obeyed the Lord. You can't even pass out tracts. Brother, you being cruel. Good, maybe you'll repent. Can't even pass out a tract. Can't even put a tract, a gospel tract, on a store shelf so somebody can get it. You don't have Jesus in your life. You're all about yourself. You spend more time, money, and energy on getting stupid little trinkets for your sinful, evil self than you do toward the Lord and his kingdom and the blessed people in the earth that he wants to reach through you. But you've refused to do things his way. You're all about yourself. You're a lover of your own self. You're proud. You're boastful. You're arrogant and wicked. You have a mere form of godliness. but you deny the power, the authority of Jesus Christ to reign in your life by repenting, denying yourself, and taking up your cross and following Jesus. Let me ask you, does your pastor preach on the crucified life? He's false if he's not, all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we don't need another service or sermon. We need to repent. And when we truly repent, we will obey God. It won't be something we intend to do
one of these years or decades if we finally feel like it or get around to it.
And pray about with no heart behind it. Otherwise, we didn't truly repent. That is, if we do not obey God. Notice Matthew 3, 1 through 10. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the first word out of John the Baptist's mouth in his ministry? Repent. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the same for Jesus. The next chapter, chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew 3, 2, and 4, 17. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up to preach, he said, repent. That was the first word out of his mouth. So we got John the Baptist, we got Jesus, and we got the Apostle Peter on the day the church was born, Pentecost, preaching repentance. And you think that you are sitting under the real gospel instead of another gospel, a false gospel, when your pastor isn't even preaching on repentance? In most cases, these pansies, they call themselves pastors, are using some fake Bible that has largely removed the command to repent. Now, I wonder who it is that wanted that removed other than Satan. You have no clue a biblical foundation if you don't know that Satan, Garden of Eden, was the first one to cast doubt upon the Word of God and to change the Word of God. And that's what all of these new, quote, Bible versions have done.
They have tampered with the Word of God and cast doubt upon whether or not it should be what it says, or whether or not it means or he means what he said.
We have a lot on that. One of the posts on Safeguard Your Soul is how to spot a fake Bible. Shocking. Just put in the search box, how to spot, okay, or just put in fake. We've got another post called Fake Jesus, Fake Pastors, Fake Christians, Fake Bibles, Fake Churches Exposed. That's an explosive podcast. Check it out. I'll try to put it at the bottom of this message on the SafeguardYourSoul.com post. So we're talking about repentance and how that's where it all begins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Repentance is an absolute necessity. And what happens when you repent? What really happens? The Bible says you shall know them, that should begin with ourselves, by their fruit. Matthew 7:16-20, right? So are you judging the fruit of your own life? How about 2 Corinthians 13:4-5? Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I was fellowshipping with a dear brother in Christ recently, and what he was talking about was things that equal examining himself. And I encouraged him in that and exhorted him that he's doing exactly what the Bible says to do. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. That's written to Christians. Matthew 3, verse 3. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And what was the first word he did to make straight, to prepare the way of the Lord and to make straight his paths? It was the word repent, the divine command to repent. And the same John had his raiment or his clothing of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and Judea, all kinds of people came out to see him, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him, confessing their sins. This was the baptism of repentance in light of the coming of the Lord, which was prophesied for John the Baptist to be the forerunner of Jesus in the book of Isaiah. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. Notice, he sees the religionists come with all the other people to his ministry gathering. And what does he do? He doesn't say, oh, these are dignitaries. Everybody move off the front row and let them sit up front. Just the opposite. That's what they do in churches today, because they stand the prophet in this world for doing such. No, he said, you bunch of snakes. That's what, oh, generation of vipers means. You bunch of devils.
you bunch of snakes, right? Isn't Satan himself called that old serpent, Revelation 12? I don't think there's many words you could say to somebody that are more descriptive and severe than to call them a bunch of snakes, these religionists who had come to his gathering. He hit them straight up. He just, like, he hit them right upside the head. You got to love John the Baptist, right? Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. In other words, prove you've repented by bringing forth fruit to prove it. That would be obedience. And see, that's how we know so many, most who claim to know Jesus and have been saved by him in the past. And maybe they were, but they're not serving him anymore. Their life is all about them, not him. If their life was about him, they would be actively, diligently, daily involved in praying for laborers to go forth, in funding them, and in ministering the gospel. That's the Great Commission right there, in summation, the end of each gospel. See, but we don't see that fruit in their lives. All they do is go to church and listen to the next sermon, and they go to the next so-called church service. Wow, that's disgusting in the eyes of a holy God. And think not that to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. We have religious pedigree. Our mom and dad and grandma and grandpa started this church. You know, same thing. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. That means chopped down and cast into the fire. So what does bringing forth good fruit indicate? It's what indicates and proves that somebody has repented, truly repented. Otherwise, they haven't repented. And if they did in the past and they're not obeying God, they're not bringing forth the fruits of repentance, which is good works, then they are in need of repentance, real repentance, afresh before it's too late. The axe will be laid to the root on judgment day when they die, and they will be hewn down, their life cut down and cast into the fire. They're going to hell 100%. Jesus taught that whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus also said that he's going to spew or vomit. He's going to reject anyone who dies without him, Christ, being their very first priority. That's what first love means, Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. Their first priority. And talk is cheap. Now, before we pray, remember 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Heavenly Father, we ask you as we come before you in the name of Jesus to cleanse us, Lord, of our wicked, defiling sins in your holy eyes of spiritual adultery and fornication and self-idolatry. Rebuke us, Lord, and grant us to have repentance. We know it's a gift from you, but we've got to incline ourselves in surrender to receive it. And we ask that this would happen in every person's life that's listening to this message so that they can be refreshed, Lord. You said times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord when we repent. Let it be, God. Unite our hearts to fear thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.